What's up, everybody? Welcome to the new episode of, well, I mean, yeah, I guess it is the new, unless you're listening to another one and you've come back to this one. But then I guess if you're listening to it the first time, it's new to you, right? Huh. Anyways, so way back in episode one, I started this story called The Skellabang Kid. You may have seen me sculpting on my Twitch. I actually started I've sculpted Slizzy Biscuit so far, and also I have sculpted the Skellabang Kid, or I'm currently sculpting the Skellabang Kid, depending on when you listen to this, because time is funny like that, isn't it? So now I want to start continuing that story. Basically, Skellabang Kid, I was a big fan of Brave Star as a kid, and I've always just loved, like, retro-futuristic, like, 1950s sci-fi. So my love of 1950s sci-fi mixed with, like, country-western, rockabilly, psychobilly, just smashing that all together, and you have the Skellabang Kid, a sci-fi rockabilly western, which I'm stoked about, and I'm going to continue to make more art about. So now, I started the prologue back in episode one, but I'm going to include it here just so you don't have to go back and listen to it. So here we go. Enjoy the Skellabang Kid. Prologue and part one.
Episode one. A log of a pro nature. Howdy, y'all. How's about you dust off them britches and open up them hearing holes for an old-fashioned newfangled tale? Now, I expect no yawning while I'm spinning my yarn. So it all starts, I think, back in 1899. Suppose it ain't too important, any says. Anyways, on a quiet hunk of rock. Quite like any other hunk of rock, except for the fact this hunk of rock ain't gonna be quiet for too much longer. This here rock was inhabited by a race of aliens called the Griff. They's a kind folk, kept to their own, lived off the land. They even had clean, green machines of their own. You earth fellers and gals might say they look like creatures of an avian-type nature. Things is good for 'em. But all that changed once Nat P. Duggett set his sights on they's quaint, quiet, and most certainly quintessential little rock. See, old Nat P. was an intergalactic tycoon, owning everything from soda pop companies to planet-devastating weaponry. Ain't the likes you want to turn over to his bad side, you catch my whiff. Oops. Now, he had plans for Griff's rock. He's going to turn that chunk of space dirt into amusement planet. Rides, games, fun as your eye jealous could jiggle. Problem is, see, Griff's already be inhabiting that planet. Old Slimy Nat P paid no heed, mind you. He sent his own personal paramilitary platoons down there to run them off their own land. Now them Griffs, they sure put up a fight. But on account of them being outgunned by Nat P's slew of new-fangled technology, they's run off to the outer corners of the planet while Duggett set about constructing his amusement pleasurable planet. Nat P set up a home base wherein they landed and called it Centropolis. Now, you can't build an amusement planet without a muse, so with that, beings of all shapes and sizes came to the populating planet to find their fertile fortune and make an honest living for themselves. Now, things was lawful in Centropolis, but as the building began to expand, Griff territory began to unspand. Naturally, these Griffs didn't like too much, and there's plenty of squabbling. Them towns out there on the edge of expansion, now them's there was frontier towns. Lucy Lawless, far as them jellies a wiggle. All kind of fortuitous folk came to this planet, and ain't all of them the savory sort. Bosses began to spring up and rob dugouts transport vehicles, and they didn't stop there. In fact, they'd rob just about anything with a willy to jiggle and a pot to piss in. Which brings me to our heroist herald. The Skellabang Kid & Co. Hoo-ha! Skellabang Kid & Co. were different than most other run-of-the-mill do. Now, by no means was they good, but they did have a code, and that's more than I can say for all them other brash bandidos. The Skelebang crew specifically robbed only Nat P. The way they figured it, frontier folk had enough on their hands what with fighting off bandits and the Griff. The Skelebang Kid and Co. were a cream de la cream legendary, straight from the teachings teat. Folk wrote novels about them, sensationalized all they most cadaver-filled capers and cavernous contingencies. You could say they up and came somewhat of folk heroes, scoring big and living it up in they's hideout, Tarnation. Funny thing is, no one ever could find Tarnation. Some folk don't even believe it ever done existed. Say they gave all their haul to the poor frontiers folk like some kind of modern-day bobbin goods. Truth is, no one knows. And for long, another quite distracting set of circumstances was about to befall the beings of Centropolis. Quite literally, I might add. And slowly, people gained to forget about all the torrid tales of the troubled past, for they had a taller problem staring them smack dab square in the derriere saying, "I triple dog dare you." The Slagatrons. Now the Slagatrons are some teetotaling tamales ain't no one want to go toe-to-toe with. Best just tiptoe around them transgressive and by all means terrifying Tanyas. He's a big old mix of lady flesh and carnivorous computer chips with a bad attitude. Want nothing more than to eradicate all life of a masculinely machismic nature, if you're catching my whiff. Folks say them Tanyas is run by a supercomputer with a neurological slapping sensibility. In other words, they can talk to each other with them computer brains. All that tech and man-hating anger gotta be powered some ways, don't it? And boy, that hate burns just about as bright as a geologic center of a hunk of rock just like the one you're spinning on. Fact, that's exactly what they want. Slagatrons crashed to land their hunk-junk ships on a planet and it bore straight down to its core. Now ships act like a big old genie with a henny, sucking that their planetary power and beaming that their energy with a synergy to they's mothership, ever that may be. Now where you guess them old slags landed one of them their ships? Yep, that's right. Smack dab on old Centropolis. With a big old mighty green glow like a whiff right out of God himself's righteous halibunghole, they laid right into that there planet. They isn't too nice with it either. Most centrally located bits of Centropolis was smashed to bits, then drilled down through. Turned parts closest to that into just about a crispy cascade of crud. Parts next to that was hit with a rippling rate of radiation. Being account of that slag power being of a strange green nature, it blasted them poor folks that's running away with a burn the likes of 1,000 ass whoopings from 1,000 ass whoopers. Gave their skin a greenish hue, all nice and bubbly like. You earth folk might know of a certain preserved cucumberus. Yep, a pickle. And just like that, the picklebacks came into being. These poor folk just blob about getting blobbier, hobblier, and most certainly slobbier. And boy howdy, they reek of vinegar and shit. Shit! Ain't got nothing clever to say there, other than vinegar and shit. Ugh! Now them slags is angry, but they ain't dumb. Free labor is the cheapest when it's forced. And ain't nothing cheaper than free labor, so says. So slags set about enslaving most everything next to they's generator ship. Forcing them into shantytown with just about nothing but they maintes on. But time went by and all them picklebacks settled into some sort of meager but present existence. Slags ain't bothered too much by all them folk out yonder ways from they ship. All they care about is keeping that genie flowing forth with that energy. But that old slag radiation, now that started seeping out all over the planet. All kinds of weird mutations start to spring up in the planet folk. Even machinery started acting all funny, some of it becoming sentient. So a land with no law came even more lawless, if you can believe it. With old Nat P abandoning his pleasure planet, them people had no ways of getting off that hunk of rock. And no means of protecting what belonged to them. They too had to find a way to get by. A plan I'd forgotten. Heroes a thing of the past? Hell, ain't never might have existed at all. That right there, this moment in time, is where my yarn truly begins to yarn. Ain't no one know for sure what life the Skelebang Kid lived, but I can sure as shit talk a mushroom and tell you how he lived after he died. Find out next time on The Skellabang Kid, Episode 2. Skellabang Kid, Episode 2. The Frog is the True Player. Or maybe it's Episode 1, technically, because I don't know if you actually count a prologue as an episode, but maybe this is Part 1, or officially Part 1. Well, this is where the story starts, and we're not in the prologue, like, because we were setting the scene in the last one, if you know what I mean. So this is actually where it actually starts, and last one was just a setup for the story. Yeah, there you go. Sit by its lonesome on an even lonesomer part of a planet. A sign. What's it say? Ye old pissing spot. The ground starts to up and rumble while it was dusted by a tumble. A strange green glow slips through the cracks of the earth like a sedimentary whiff out of the rock itself. With a blast to ground, a decrepit old arm reaches up into the light of an alien sun. Clawing its way up, we see the top of a cowboy hat breach the ground. As the figure done wiggles itself out, we'll see a gaunt, rotted body. Skeletal face, obscured by white bangs cut across his face just at the nose. His long, white mane flows in the wind like a whippoorwill, as a white mustache hangs on top of thin, leathery lips that sit on dry gums. A few teeth dangle from him like stalactites, and this, my friends, is where our journey begins. Where am I?
The corpse stands there, staring at a vivid alien sunrise. He surveys the strange landscape. There's hills of purple, fluorescent vegetation. A neon green desert stretches in all directions. Only a winding highway seems to break up the otherwise desolate wasteland. A squeaking is heard. The corpse looks down to see a rickety old bubbly sack that seems to be wearing a bowler. On closer inspection, we see it's a cigarette. Or kind of a cigarette.
Welcome to the Encyclopedia Shatanica audiobook edition. Cigarettes. While they may look oddly cute, cigarettes are nasty, ill-tempered, and constantly in need of a nicotine fix. They are the vermin of the universe, infesting anywhere cigarettes can be found. If you ever got close enough to inspect a cigarette, you would see that behind their nicotine-stained teeth sits a hairy tongue. This can tell you how old a cigarette is. The hairier the tongue, the older the cigarette. While smoking a cigarette, the rat's body inflates with hot air, making it possible for it to float around. Once they digest the smoke, they dispel it from their anus in a small smoke ring. This also serves in propelling the cigarette. If you pull a cigarette from a cigarette's mouth mid-float, the cigarette will deflate wildly like an out-of-control balloon. It's quite a sight. In a pinch, cigarettes can be used as makeshift smoke bombs for those in need of a quick getaway. This cigarette, however, I have no fucking clue what's wrong with it. Thank you and good night.
Well, dang little feller, ain't you, Ain't you a cigarette? Oh, I'll be man. You look worse for wear. Let me see.
The corpse pats himself around. His wrinkly hand stopped on his thigh. Reaching into his dusty space jeans, he pulls out a shriveled up cigarette. The cigarette seems to perk up on top of its already excited disposition.
Here you go, fucker.
The corpse puts the cigarette in the cigarette's mouth, and he flicks his long, cracked nail on the hard, rocky ground. Spark pings off the ground as his fingernail comes ablaze. A green flame dances on the tip of his finger.
Oh, well, now how did I know how I could do that? Anyways.
The corpse lights the cigarette. The little tumor sac inflates and slowly starts to rise as it sucks the hot smoke into itself. It floats eye level with the corpse. A wild smile cracks onto its lips. Smoke seeps through the many holes left by its absence of teeth. It dips in the air a bit as some of the smoke exits its mouth. One milky eye and one glossy black eye stare at the corpse as a pleased look is painted across his face. Slowly it glides over to the corpse. Small smoke rings puff out its little butthole. Each one propels it forward inch by inch. Once it reaches the corpse's face, it nuzzles his cheek a little with its grotesque, bubbly head, and it slowly curls up in the corpse's wispy mane.
Well, I don't know what or who I am or when or where I am. I don't even know how I know how to wonder who or how. Well, I suppose I'll follow that thing down yonder. I ain't got much else to do.
The corpse eyes the highway in the distance. After a brief pause, he sets off in that direction. His silhouette gets all wiggly as he strolls off into the sunrise.
Hoo-ah!
After walking for who knows how long, the corpse spies a dusty rundown sign. See the infamous hideout of the Skellabang Kid! Visit Tarnation! 5 cocks ahead! Now, all y'all Earth folk probably need to know, cocks, or KOKs, is the universal unit of measurement. Okay, back to the story. The corpse looks closer at the sign to see a gang of outlaws. Each one has their name underneath them. The Skellabang Kid stands in the front. To his left, a beautiful lizard-like creature with a luscious afro streaked with white. Slizzy Biscuit reads her name. Next to her stands a stout, crazed-looking thing with an arrow in his hat. His mouth is the biggest thing about him. The Sarsaparilla Killer. To the Skellabang's right, we see a sassy-looking being with tall, white go-go boots. Machine guns, lasers, knives, you name it, they're popping out all over the boots. That's go-go. Deadliest pair of boots in the West. Hell, deadliest pair of boots in any direction, for that matter. Behind Gogo stands a suave-looking crapulon, his hair coiffed perfectly, glaring in the alien sun. A thin John Waters-esque mustache sits above his lip. On his hands he wears fingerless gloves loaded with shotgun shells. The Gentleman Brawler is his name.
Huh, get a load of them, huh?
The corpse can't help but feel like he's seen that group before. He ponders a minute, but when nothing's coming back to him, he shakes off his thoughts and continues on towards Tarnation. Hell, that's the only thing around, so might as well head there. After quite a substantial distance, oil barrels can be seen littering the landscape. Up ahead, the corpse can make out the faint glimmer of a roadside attraction. A giant sign that says Tarnation hangs sideways above a run-down, retro-futuristic gas station. Pools of black tar surround the building, marking the vibrant neon green dirt with black, frothing ponds. A small worm, about the size of a large corgi, sits inside a chewed-up boot. He leans back on a chair, and his strange face is stuck in a book, and it reads, The Skellabang Kid, Showdown with OK Morales. The worm is staring at a page with an illustration. The Skellabang Kid stands framed by an alien sun, looking all badass as his silhouette dances in the heat. A sound startles the worm as he snaps his attention from the page. He looks out directly to see almost the same exact scene, a figure looking almost identical to the Skellabang Kid on the page is making its way toward him. Seeing the striking resemblance is enough to make the worm lose its balance as it falls backwards and crashes on the floor. Hearing a loud crash inside the gas station, the corpse approaches with caution.
Hello?
The worm jumps up and slithers over towards the door like a snake, the boot sitting on his back like a bizarre snail shell. He stops in front of the corpse, oozes back into his boot, and then raises himself up as tall as he can. A wide grin stretches across his face. He just stares wide-eyed and smiling at the corpse.
How do you do? I can't really remember anything at all, and I'm not sure who or where I am. You mind telling me where I am, kiddo?
The worm just stares at him, a drool starting to slip out of his mouth. After an uncomfortable amount of time, without a word, the worm swiftly slides up the doorframe with incredible ease. Now he clings to the frame and is directly eye level with the corpse. Never once did he stop smiling. His breath heaves out of his mouth. He leans in so close to the corpse's face. I'm pretty sure he hasn't even blinked once he's seen the corpse.
It's you.
Oh, he whispers.
Sorry, kiddo. I don't know who you is.
You're the Skeleton Kid! Oh my, oh my, oh my, oh me, oh me, oh my, oh my, oh my, oh me, oh me. I can't believe it. I can't. Can you believe it?
What?
I said, can you fucking believe it? You can you believe it?
Kiddo, I'm sorry, but I have no clue what you're talking about.
Look!
The worm shoots down from the wall and crashes into a stack of books that fly in all directions, all different Skelebang Kid tales. He's looking around for something. An odd creature sits in the corner. Noticing it's laying on what he's looking for, the worm flips midair, delivering a swift kick to the creature. It jumps up and scuttles away. The worm grabs the rolled-up paper, does a backflip onto the desk in the middle of the room, and unravels the paper. It's a poster of the Skelebang Kid.
See?
The corpse looks at the poster, and a hot, searing pain hits him like a bullet to the forehead. He hears a thousand voices all jarbled at once, and vague memories shift into his vision, like rapidly flicking through the channels of a television, and just like that, they were gone.
I ain't so sure about that, kiddo.
The worm shoots off the desk and spins the corpse around to a dusty old mirror. For the first time, the corpse sees his own reflection.
Ooh.
His skin is gaunt and leathery, and his torso wasted away to almost nothing but a spinal cord, exposing his pelvis that pokes out of his dusty jeans covered by cow print space chaps. He gazes for a minute at the mirror, then to the poster, then to the perma-smile of that worm, and then back to the mirror. He does bear a striking resemblance to the guy on the poster. Could it be? Well, if so, what does that even mean? Thought the corpse.
Now you see, dead ringer, dead to rights, or I drop dead, I tell you.
With a squee, the tumor-like cigarette floats out of the corpse's beard, and it begins excitedly flying around the worm and gesturing to it.
Oh my God! It's Cliss!
The cigarette wheezes in utter excitement and joy.
Sorry, kiddo, but even if that is true, I don't remember anything at all. Can you start by telling me who you are and where we are?
Oh, gods, I thought you'd never ask. I'm Boots. They named me that because that's where they found me, in this here boot. Wasn't nothing but a babe. I'm a boot slug, see?
Is there such a thing?
Huh. Good point. Maybe I'm the first, last, and the only one of my kind. Who? It's been a while since I used my voice. Honestly, I wasn't sure if I had one. Last time I used it, I was when Jimmy was still alive. Oh.
Boots gestures to a dried-up alien husk sitting in a chair in the corner, startling the living corpse, which may or may not be the Skelebang Kid, but let's refer to him as SK from now on. Skelebang Kid, Kid, or SK for short.
Oh, it's K. Don't be afraid. He ain't moved much since he died. Well, to be honest, he didn't move that much when he was living either. On account of that's his favorite chair and all. I thought about moving him, but it just didn't seem right, you know? Besides, I think he's happy there.
Strange space flies buzz around the husk.
What are you doing here? Are you on a heist? Are you on the run? Is Johnny Law after you again? Did you just rob a bank? Where's the money? Did you bury it? Are you looking to bury it? Did you shoot someone? Are you looking to bury someone? I know all kinds of good hiding spots around here. I can show you.
Slow down there, slug. I just woke up and clawed my way out of the ground and found the road, and I walked until I made it here. Where is here exactly?
What? Don't you recognize your hideout, Tarnation? I suppose this really wasn't the real Tarnation, huh? Well, I always hoped it was. And Jimmy there owned the place. He's the one that found me. This used to be one of the greatest roadside attractions this side of PP. Jimmy told me this was the spot of your famed hideout, Tarnation. Tourists come from miles around to check it out. I grew up here. I've read all your books about a zillion times. I know every adventure by heart. if you can't remember anything, then maybe you just bumped your head. It's okay. You know, I'm the leading foremost expert on the Skeleton Kid and Co. I can help you remember. It's like we're going to go on a caper. Ka-chink, ka-chink, ka-chink.
Well, 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 what have we here?
Three bandito-esque thugs approach the gas station. They're armed to the teeth. The one in front literally has arms on his teeth, each one with a tiny holster holding a tiny revolver. And they look ready to shoot.
Would you get a load of this guy? Who cut your hair? Your mom? Say, we've been looking for some boots, and by my count, I see three of them standing in front of me.
But I'm a boot slug. I need my boot.
That even a thing? Ain't you got arms?
I don't know. Am I supposed to have arms?
Hell, he can't even hold a revolver. Looks like this'll be easy pickings.
The thug steps up towards Boots and is blocked as Kid steps in his path.
Oh, Mr. Macho Hairdo gonna do something, huh?
Use your revolvers, Kid!
Huh?
Says the Skelebang Kid. Kid looks at his leathery hands, and for the first time, he realizes he's missing the ring fingers on each hand. Huh. Interesting. The thug clocks the kid right in the jaw, sending his entire jawbone sailing across the room and onto Jimmy's dead lap. The Skeleton Kid reels around and falls flat on the ground.
SK, no!
Ka-ching. The thug ka-ching. Walks up and rips ka-ching. The boots off Boots. Rips the boot off Boots. While his lackeys de-boot Kid. The thug punches Boots right in the face, sending him flying into the wall. That jerk.
Search round for anything else, and then let's get the hell out of this shithole.
The goons look around the station, seemingly disappointed.
Boss, it seems like a bunch of dumb books about this Skelebung dude.
Ugh. Alright, let's get the fuck out of here. At least we got some boots. You know how much I love my boots.
Yeah, boss, I know how much you love your boots. Oh, yeah.
The thugs begin to leave as they exit the station and mosey on their way. A loud chainsaw sound is heard. Boots, halfway between conscious and unhears, panic screams that turn to chummy gurgles as the sounds of tearing flesh rip through the open door. And slowly, Boots drifts off into a deep, painful sleep.
Oh dear. That's crazy. Wow. How's that even possible?
Boots slowly regains consciousness as he hears a strange voice coming from the corner of the room. Lifting himself up, he sees the security camera leaning out the door, scoping the scene, mumbling to itself. It's attached to the wall with a long, slimy, weird tendril of all the kinds of oozy and grody.
Excuse me.
With a shriek, the camera is startled and recoils against the wall, trying to act like a camera again.
Is this thing on? Oh, did I hit the talk button again? No, little boy, I'm just a camera. No, I ain't talking. Yes, you very much are talking. Oh shit, I knew it. I just can't feel the buttons no more.
The camera goes back to normal and sits silently in the corner. Before Boots attempts to talk to the camera more, he realizes he just saw the Skelebang kid get de-jawed. He relaunches himself over the desk to see if SK is still alive.
SK! SK!
Slowly, SK wakes up and looks around the room, his leathery, shriveled tongue hanging out of his gaping maw. He stands up, walks over to his jaw, and picks it up. He stares at it longingly. Green and black tendrils begin to stretch out from the jaw and from SK's face. They meet in the middle, sliming their tendrils around one another, and then his jaw flies up and locks back into place with a wet crunch. SK opens and closes his mouth, getting used to having his jaw back into place.
Oh, I didn't know I could do that.
Wow, that wasn't in any of the stories I read. How'd you do that?
Well,
The camera zips across the room, smacking SK in the forehead as a bulging eye scopes him up and down.
Could it be? Skelebang Kid?
You know the Skelebang Kid too?
Gasps Boots.
Oh shit, is this thing on again? I'm just a surveillance camera, little boy. I don't speak.
Yes, you do, says Boots.
Tom, there you go again, screwing it all up. Bah, shit, what? Oh, God, I said my name. Rats, I ain't so good at talking to people, see?
That's okay. Me either. Wow, all this time and I didn't even know you could talk. And you're a Skelebang Kid fan too. That's so cool.
Wait. You think I'm cool?
Says the camera, surprised.
The coolest, says Boots.
Well, thank you, you little boy.
Are you crying? Asked Boots.
I overheard y'all's talking, and I think I might be able to help. If he really is the Skelebang Kid, then one of his former gang should know. Last I heard, Slizzy Biscuit took up with some griffs and started a bounty hunting gang called the Posse Poppers. But being it's in the griff territory, well, I ain't got no eyes there. But I think it's a good place for all of y'all to start, you know?
Wow, thanks, Tom!
How'd you know my... You're welcome, I suppose. Hey, y'all can go get your boots now. Them thugs is dead and gone. A Slag Valkyrie up and claimed them. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the Slags are doing up this far from Centropolis, but that ain't normal. Mm-mm.
The Slags are all the way out here?
What's a Slag? Asked the Skelebang Kid.
Only the most evil, ruthless biomachines in the galaxy! They landed here long ago to siphon the energy from the planet. They usually stay close to Centropolis, but occasionally venturing out to claim bodies to turn them into Slag soldiers. You know, if they're this far away from Centropolis, then something big must be happening.
I'll do my best to keep an eye out for y'all, but be careful. I'll guide you as far as I can, but once y'all get to Griff territory, y'all are on your own,
says the camera.
Oh my God, it's like come true. We're actually going on a caper with my hero.
Well, I don't, we don't rightly know that kid, but, well, seeing as how I don't know who or where I am or what I am, seems like it's the only thing to do, and he says, all right, saddle up, slugger. Let's get our boots.
Is this corpse really the Skellabang Kid? What will they find in Griff territory? Who's the mysterious camera thing? Find out next time on The Skellabang Kid.